Well, good afternoon, folks, and you're enjoying those photos. They really encapsulate John, don't they? Trouble with a capital T, both of them. We're going to just spend some time just thanking God for John's life. We've committed his body to be cremated, and now we're going to share some stories and just reflect together as family and friends of John. And well, I want to kind of invite you, there will be a chance in our time together to share a story. Please be as honest as you can be, but remember it's a family show, okay? So you might have to mitigate some of your stories. We've got loads of them. How can we do 90 plus years in just a few minutes? It's impossible. So that's what the tea's for. Afterwards, we can keep telling the stories and reminding ourselves of John's place in our lives, that a huge hole has been left, and to assure Joyce and the family of our love and our prayers, and to try and do him justice. He left very strict instructions, didn't he? And he always wrote in capitals. I always felt that he was shouting at us to get it right. So we're going to do our best. And as we come, let's pray together. Let's pray. Living God, you are the eternal one. And you've not made us for darkness and death, but for light and life with you forever. Without you, we have nothing to hope for. With you, we have nothing to fear. So, Father, speak to us now. Speak to us your words of eternal life and help us to trust in you. Lift us from anxiety and guilt to the light and peace of your presence. Set your glory of love before us as we remember, as we give thanks for John's life and how our lives have been touched by his. We gather to worship you in gratitude and in heartfelt praise for John's life. And we pray that this afternoon might continue to be not only a fitting memory of John, but also an act of worship to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, who's going to... We haven't got a list. We've just got remembering John. Who's going to go first? Who wants to start off? That's great. So, that's always the hardest one to go first. Thanks, Jeff. Do you want me to read it? Yeah, okay. Okay, so this is from daughter-in-law Kerry, who's not able to be with us this afternoon, but this is what it says. Being 43 years my senior, John was a welcome combination of a grandfather and father figure to me. Unbeknownst to me, there was a John-shaped hole waiting to be filled. Once he got over my rather exuberant exterior and realized I was planning on sticking around, John soon welcomed me into the family. With his quick wit and cheeky banter, he was easy to be around and enjoyed a sense of the ridiculous. That's true. We both appreciated making fun of ourselves and teasing each other. John was genuinely interested in others, and even up until his last months, would still ask about something seemingly trivial when we had mentioned on a previous visit. As we all know, he had plenty of tales of his own that were interesting and amusing. He could write, sing, paint, play guitar, and give a good cuddle. He could also charm the birds from the trees with a twinkle in his eye. It was a joy to watch him laugh with the carers, dance and sing with them, male and female. It was obvious they loved working with him, and he was always very appreciative of their kindness. Orlando in particular, that's true. Orlando, yeah. John amazed me with his patience and fortitude after his stroke, which was so sudden and debilitating. Watching him philosophically accepting his lot was part of a bigger lesson in how he had always appreciated the smaller things in life and not always wanting more, whether it be a bird on the windowsill, hearing about a lovely walk we'd been on in the countryside, being taken out for a drive or scraping the bowl clean after I made him a pudding. It was a pleasure to know a man so easily content. I also particularly loved to watch him and Jeff together, affectionate and playful. Jeff tweaking his ear or poking his nose, it especially moved me to see them enjoying music together. Whilst we never saw eye to eye about religion, we respected each other's position, and I'm happy for him and Joyce that he has finally been freed from his physical restraints and gone to a better place. Despite telling us all quite ferociously at Sister Sybil's funeral that he was almost envious of her leaving this mortal earth, and he was very ready himself to also join God, We would joke he certainly showed no hurry to do this, following that speech some years ago. It was a pleasure to know John Raymond Beardsley, as I sometimes called him, to be his chief foot masseur and to hear him smack his lips in pleasure at my latest culinary effort. He could not have had a more devoted wife and supportive family that I've been lucky enough to be part of. I hope heaven is everything you dreamt it would be. Rest in peace. Love from Kerry. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Anyone else want to share a story? You haven't got to, I'll come to you. I've got Mike. We'll travel. You haven't got to move.
Okay, a typical thing about my dad, when he used to get the bus everywhere, he used to be waiting at the bus stop early, arrive early for the bus to come, and then the people would be coming, waiting for the bus as well. And he'd very politely let everybody on before him until at the last minute it was full and the bus went without him. Seriously, and that's what he was like. Always putting everybody first, and yeah. Well, I think so. Yeah, he was late for work, I think. Yeah. So that was typical.
Good. Anyone else? John. Part of our trios of Johns.
Thank you, Peter. Yes. Well, maybe I'm speaking on behalf of me and two others of the trio. Who used to go out and about with John, visiting Croft Meadow and Dingerman's and other places. And we had really the most amazing times there. And Croft Meadow particularly, it was good to see how people opened up to John and always ready to hear one of his songs, most of which were quite proper and familiar to the people. Songs, you know, being Christian songs, but the ones are folk related too. It was a good time, and I think the time with John and the other Johns, because two other Johns would admit that they came along as just bolstering the sound that we made, and John and I tried to provide a bit more melody. But it really tried, because John wrote some of the things himself, and the melody wasn't always easy to get along with. But people were very understanding, and I think they really did love him and all that we did for them. Thank you.
My recollection of those times when I first came here, John, was that John was the most keen to be there. The others were there just to help him out, but he was playing his own game, and he would play to anybody. And my job as the youngest one of the crew was to make sure they all got out of the old people's home in one piece. They weren't having to stay there behind the locked doors. So, yeah, very good. Yeah. Any other stories of John? Another John. You haven't got to be called John to share today.
My lasting memory of John is at Dingerman's once a month on a Sunday afternoon. And my picture is of John strumming his guitar and walking around a bit, and singing some of the, I'll call them, old-time songs about Jesus, his Saviour, and listening to him as he told us how he could be our Saviour too.
Thank you, John. Is there a hand down here that I missed? I'm coming back to the final, John, in a second. Thank you. You're not called John, eh? That's okay. You can still share.
Sorry, everybody, I'm called Robert. Granddad. Well, there's a lot of stories here about him playing his guitar, and as his grandson, I think the most memorable tune I remember him singing is Old MacDonald. And he gave quite an impressive rendition that always had me in stitches. But I never realised that we were meant to be sharing stories today, but I did want to say that it takes a special soul to brighten everybody's day in an instant, no matter where you go, consistently, with strangers, with loved ones. And to me, I think this was one of Grandad's most amazing sort of magic trick. That was his magic, really. He lived his life in his heart. He loved to laugh. Often, as we all know, playing the joker, the entertainer. And so whether reliving the words, and you forgive my northern accent, probably dampens this phrase slightly, go love a duck or stone a crow. Allow these words to take yourself into your own heart space, because that's where you'll always be able to find Grandad. So yeah, thank you. I did actually want to just acknowledge Kerry because she's not able to be here. And I just very, very noticeable to see the huge lift that she gave him since she came into his life. And yeah, it was very, very evident. And I know that he treasured her. One of the other memories I have of Grandad will always be walking along the road with Nan, propping each other up along the street. And I think rather symbolic of your life together and the support that you gave him for over 70 years. And yeah, just amazing right up until he flew off to heaven. So singing your praises here, Nan, as well.
Even when John came back having had his cataracts done and complained about the dust that he could now see, because he could see straight, he could see how dust it was, and still you didn't have a go. That's amazing. John.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, I'm another John. And simply I remember John on the top floor of Croft Meadow. And if any of you know Croft Meadow top floor was where people had memory issues. So they would look at me as if to say, I've never seen you before, have I? They might have looked at their own husbands and wives and said, just the same. But they always remembered John B. When he came in, their eyes lit up because they remembered him. And I guess that's the way many of us will think of him, as a memorable, joyful, pleasant and happy man. And I thank God for him.
Other stories. Yeah, thank you.
I'm got to mention John and his boat, because that's one of my lasting memories, as well as when I was very small and my parents would take me to Patcham sometimes. And being very small, I don't remember John very much, but I remember a very large Alsatian dog. And that made a great impression on me. But John did later, because of everything you've all been saying about his, you know, his teasing and his banter and his kindness and everything else. And there were a couple of occasions, I think it was two, when my late husband and I visited and went on John's boat, which, of course, Joyce wouldn't go on, as far as I can remember. And it was just huge fun. He was great fun. And we had a lovely time. And I remember it with huge affection, as indeed I remember him.
Thank you very much. Any others? We've all got stories. It's just the idea of having to talk into the microphone for some of us. I understand that. But what, perhaps when we're having tea, you make sure you tell them. Because this is not only a place where we are thankful, we thank God for John's life, but we find out stuff too, stuff that we never knew. And it's a great way of doing it, just over a cup of tea, to make sure you do. We've got so many stories to tell, and we need to keep John's memory alive, because he's always be part of this place, always be part of our church family here too, as well as your physical family. But we have been given a list of instructions, by John about the things we have to include today, written in capital letters. So we're on pain of death to do that, and we're going to look at a Bible reading. John wanted the whole of John 17. Now, if you know John 17, it's not the easiest scripture. I think that was part of his point. But I know the verse that was particularly important to him because we used to thrash it out every time I went to see him. So Graham's going to come and read the first 8 verses of John chapter 17. Thanks, Graham.
Prayer of Jesus. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me.
Thank you. So I remember where I was and what I was doing when Christine phoned me to say that her dad had died. And in that, you know, in those moments when you hear news, you can think of lots of things at the same time. My first reaction was relief. Relief that the Lord had called John home. He'd been ready for a while, hadn't he? We talked about that and prayed for that. Then an overwhelming sense of sadness at the loss he's going to be to so many people. And then very quickly followed by the fear of getting this wrong this afternoon. And it all happened in a nanosecond. Because he was pretty, well, the Spanish would say exigente, pretty demanding about stuff like this. And every Sunday morning, he'd come into church, he'd look me out, and I'd always be running around trying to fix stuff that had been broken or get ready for the service. And he'd always grab me and put his head on my chest and say a prayer for me, praying for the service. Whether I was taking the service or not, it didn't matter, I never stopped him. And that was the kind of person he was. He took faith very seriously. It was not just something he believed, it was part of the way in which he lived. And whenever I went to see John and Joyce, Joyce didn't get a word in edgeways, we would start up on whatever the theme was, which really ended up being the same theme about what it meant to live a life in Christ. And so when John chose John 17, and this verse I think particularly from verse 3, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So I've thought long and hard about what John would want to say to us this afternoon. And I don't intend to be as long as he would if he were here to say it. Because you can imagine John leaning forward in his chair. And then he starts getting this pointy finger out when he starts talking about it. And he's kind of almost like half kneeling on the chair. Remember that? He used to lean forward, almost kneel on the floor. And he'd start pointing and start the sermon going. I mean, I was already a Christian, already a minister. I'd heard it before, this sermon, but I was going to hear it again. And the sermon would talk about this is how we have eternal life, to know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And then the sermon would continue. And I'm not worthy to be known as his. I'm a miserable sinner. Remember that sermon? You heard that sermon from John? Okay, we've all heard John's stuff. And I would interrupt him bravely at that point and say, John, of course you're not worthy, but that's the point. Our grace is sufficient for all of us. And then he would like rock back in his chair and laugh and say, yes, grace is sufficient for all of us. And that would happen almost every time I came while you were making the tea normally, Joyce. We'd have the same conversation. Then we get on to John chapter 4 and the woman at the well. And I thought that was going to be what we were talking about this afternoon, but he didn't write that down, so that's great. because that would have been another long sermon. But the idea in John's heart was that God hasn't forgotten us. And that God, if God exists, doesn't rely on you to believe in him to exist. Isn't that wonderful? That John realized that he was, as he would say, a miserable sinner, the least of these. But that was good enough because he was loved by God. And the truth is I go to more funerals than most. Okay, some of you have been to lots of funerals. I've been to lots of funerals too. And I find increasingly people are clutching at straws, building whole funerals around the fact that someone was a keen gardener or that they liked to read or whatever it may be. Clutching all kinds of traditions, weird and wonderful, about what to do in the services, where to put flowers, what to do in the coffin, all that kind of stuff, because they don't know where they're finding their hope to live another day. And I think what we've heard today, even from those folk who don't share John's faith, is that John found this faith sustaining, a faith that doesn't just take him through his life, but takes him beyond it, through the grave, into eternity. And that's something that I think John would want us to leave with this afternoon. Because we know that, dear John, he had little time for some of the traditions of church, little time for anything other than the gospel and those little gospel books that we found, full of his notes about what it means to love and follow God. The Lord of life and the conqueror of death, the one who so loved the world, so loves us, is the one in whom we can place our trust. Because we know that one day this will happen to all of us. And I heard that John Gate crashed his sister's funeral. It was not a pretty sight from what I understand. But that was John, full of good news of Jesus, even though it wasn't always articulated in the most helpful fashion. But that's what he would want to say, I think, if he were here today. Because John believed, as I do, that having faith is good, but having faith in the right person is the most important. Someone that has conquered death. And that's what this verse is about. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. We thank God, who is not remote, but near us, nearer than our very breath. We ask him to help us as we grieve, as we move forward, as we support the Joyce and the wider family, the one who's always promised to be with us, not just in this life, but in the life that is to come. So we're going to pray together, and at the end of the prayers, we'll say together the Lord's Prayer. If you're not sure how it goes, then don't worry, just make it up. That's absolutely fine. Let's pray together. And maybe just take a moment silence just to bring your own response in the quietness. Maybe a story that you heard that's prompted a memory or something that you didn't share but you can hold as a source of your own thankfulness. And we thank you, eternal God, for John's life. We thank you for the stories that we can tell, but for the people that we are because of John. And we pray, Father, this afternoon that we might sense your presence with us. We are aware of each other's presence here. We're aware of the presence of the stories and the memories. But we ask that we might sense your presence as we are thankful for John's life. Thankful for our own continuing lives and mindful of those who need your help. We pray for those then who mourn. We pray for Joyce, for Janet and Jeff, Christine, the wider family, for the church family who have supported and prayed and been part of John and Joyce's life. And we thank you, Father, that we have each other to support us, but most of all, you reach out to us in the presence of your Holy Spirit to guide and to encourage and to remind ourselves that we're made for another world. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Loving God, we long for peace. Peace to leave John with you. peace to strengthen us for today and tomorrow. Peace with ourselves, with each other, peace with you. Grant us that peace which the world cannot give, through Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn together. O Lord, my God, how great thou art. Let's stand as we sing.